direct your attention tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to read verse 13. The King James says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong." I want to read that again. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men." That would include women. "Be strong." I want to read the NIV translation of that same verse. Says it this way. "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong." One more time. "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong." Can I say that all of the four elements in that verse, there are four directives or commandments or instructions in that. Number one, be on your guard. Number two, stand firm in the faith. Number three, be courageous. Number four, be strong. All four of those do not speak of wimpy Christians. And tonight I just want to speak for a few moments on this thought. Determined Christians. Determined Christians. I wonder if you'd help me pray tonight that God will speak to our hearts. Would you help me? God, we need you tonight. We need your direction. We need your empowerment. We need your anointing to flow in this place. God, I ask you to guide us, to lead us, to speak to us, and help it to prick our hearts and to change us in whatever way you want us to change. Here we are, Lord, to hear from you. I pray that you use these humble lips of clay, give you all the honor and glory, power, and praise belongs to you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Watch ye, or be on your guard. Stand fast in the faith, or stand firm in the faith. Quit you like men or women. Be courageous. Be strong. That is, those are components of a determined Christian. You know, there are children. Now that I have a couple of grandchildren, I get to watch this a lot. I've got one of them that she's 2 years old, and everybody talks about the terrible twos. Well, when you're a grandparent, they're not terrible twos. They're just twos, and they're only terrible for the parents. And then for the grandparents, it's time to kind of redirect the terribleness of the two and spoil them rotten and then give them back to their parents so that they could be terrible twos for the parents. That's just how it is when you're a grandparent. And life is grand when you're a grandparent. Amen. One person jokingly said, well, I don't know if they're joking or not. They said, my, if I'd have known grandkids were this much fun, I'd have had them first. You know, sometimes we look at children and when you are the parent, and you've got a two-year-old or whatever age, but that terrible twos hits, and all of a sudden you see what you would like to see in your two-year-old child is you would like to be able to say, now, honey, you need to stop, crying and getting mad about that. You need to be submissive. And to hear them at 2 years old say, okay, I'll do that. That's what you really want as a parent. But when they're 2 years old, and if they're going through those terrible twos, what you hear instead and what you see is a rising up, something we call stubbornness. Now, can I say that there's some people that have a real strong case of stubbornness and they're not 2 years old anymore. They might be 22 or 42, or 82, or 102, and they've still got a bad case of stubbornness. But can I say that at 2 years old, we look at that, and as a parent, we want to try to shape them. We want to see their life shaped in the right way, and we don't want to break their spirit, but we want to shape their will, and with God's help, we can do that. But here's a two-year-old, and they get that determined determination about them. They get that stubbornness about them. And can I say that it's possible to be determined without being stubborn? It's possible to be determined without being stubborn. At 2 years old, you say, no, put the cookie down. And they look at you and they pick up the cookie again. And you say, no, put the cookie down now. And they look at you and they start walking away from you with the cookie. Well, what is that? Can I tell you, in two-year-old language, what that is I'm determined to hang on to my cookie. That's what it means. That's the two-year-old language. That's what they're telling, is I'm determined that I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to hang on to the cookie. Well, as the parent, you have to decide whether your child is going to be more determined than you are. Now, I'm going to redirect here just a little bit. I'm going to kind of go off into maybe a little bit more of the opinion category, although I think it's almost in line with the Bible. But anyways, let's just back up a little bit and say that it's in the opinion category. I believe that if a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old is not listening to what the parent says and is refusing to obey the parent needs to prayerfully, lovingly, could I even say kindly, but firmly, do what is appropriate to convince the child to change its behavior. Now, what we usually do in today's psychology and what we're taught through our wonderful indoctrination of our current society is that a 2-year-old child, if they don't want to give up the cookie, what you do is you just distract them. And this is common. And there is a time for distraction. Let me just preface that. But as a rule, if you say, no, put the cookie down, and they don't put it down, you say, put the cookie down right now. And they still continue to disobey you. Can I say that if you really want to do what's best for that child, then it's not going to work very well to go in and say, oh, looky, look at the stuffed animal over here. Oh, look at this toy. You want to play with this toy? Oh, yeah. And then as they walk over to play the toy, you pull the cookie out of their hand and put it down, and they don't even notice that they did. And now they're playing with the toy, and you go, oh, yes, look at me. I got them to put down the cookie. No. What you did is you distracted them to something else, but the stubbornness is still there. The determination to have their own way is still there. So let me just share, if a parent is wants to put this to the test, just document what I'm saying and then keep a little journal and see if I'm not right. And that is that tomorrow, whenever something else that you need them to stop, they won't stop. They'll be even more determined. You distract them again, the next time they'll even be more determined, because that determined wheel is still inside and you have not caused them or convinced them to change their behavior. All you've done is just put a Band-Aid over it. Put a Band-Aid. Can I tell you that if you've got somebody that you don't like, they're mean, they're rude, and you just don't really care for them. Now, we need to love everybody and so forth, and I'm not going to preach that we have to like everybody, but we have to love our enemies. Amen. And so there's somebody that you just really have a hard time with. They're rude to you. They're mean to you. And when you see them, every time it gets in a big old argument, a fight, you're just like, hey, I can't, you know, I'm going to love you, but let's just not discuss it. So pretty soon, You're in Walmart and you're checking out, and here comes somebody up to you, and you look at them and you go, oh, that's funny, they're wearing a mask. Oh, look at that, somebody's wearing, they must think it's that satanic holiday of the year. Oh, wow, look at that mask they're wearing. Oh, look at them, they look like such a sweet little princess, and oh my, I bet they're just a sweet person. And they come up and they start talking to you, and you recognize the voice. It's the same voice of that person that is mean and rude to you. Can I say that they might be wearing a mask, but they're still the same person? You can mask them, but you haven't changed them. And can I say that you can mask a child's, you can put a mask over the problem, but you're not fixing the problem if you don't get some changes. And can I say that at our age tonight, as adults, as people that are, we call ourselves big people in little kids' terms, we are big people. As big people, we still have to wrestle with a spirit of stubbornness. And can I say that only God can come in to a stubborn person, and change them into a humble, submitted, determined person. Determination does not have to mean that you have to still be stubborn. No, determined Christians are Christians that are submitted. God, whatever you want from me, here I am. Lord, I'm just a vessel you could use, and I just want to be, Lord, if you tell me to turn right, I'll turn right. If you tell me to turn left, I'll turn left. If you tell me to stop, I'll stop. If you tell me to go, I'll go. If you tell me to jump, I'll jump. If you tell me to lay down, I'll lay down. If you tell me to get on my head, I'll get on my head, Lord. I'm all yours. But they are determined not to let the devil win. They are determined not to give in to the past. They are determined not to let the lusts of the flesh be fulfilled. They are determined Christians, but they are submitted to God. 2 Chronicles 20:17 says this. The ESV puts it this way. You will not need to fight in this battle. This is God talking to them. You won't need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Ooh, that sounds kind of like that 1 Corinthians 16:13 in the New Testament. Now we're in the Old Testament. And God is telling them, stand firm. Hold your position. And see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. He said, don't be afraid and dismayed. Can I say that what he's saying here is, be determined. See, a lot of times that we think that determination is only when I'm moving. Only when I'm moving. You know, you ever see anybody you're walking into McDonald's and you get out of your car and you start walking up towards the door, and over from this angle is somebody coming up towards the door, and you see them. Boy, they're having a hard time, but they're pushing harder than you are. My grandpa used to say, boy, look at them. They're in a hurry. They're making every toenail push a little bit. That's how he used to say it. But you see this person, and they're trying to get to, what are they doing? They're trying to get to the door before you because they want to get in line before you. And so you move up a little bit faster. You try to get faster, and boy, they move up faster. What's going on? They are determined to get to that door before you are. They are determined to make it. They are just that. And so we tend to think of determination as action. If I'm not doing something, I'm not determined. If I'm standing still, I'm not determined. Well, the Lord said, hey, the enemy is going to try to push you back. The enemy is going to try to steal your position and get you to give in and to give him your position. But God said, stand firm, hold your position. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Now, if you go out into a real dry, somebody's backyard, and it's real dry, hasn't been watered, and there's a little scrawny tree, real skinny little tree out there, and it's been there for 10 years, hasn't grown much, it's still not much stronger looking than it was, and you go out there and it's dry and there's no water, it probably doesn't have a lot of roots. And if you have any strength about you, depending on the tree, you might be able to go up to that tree and you might be able to grab it and you might be able to just pull and lift it up out of the ground. Why? Because its roots are not very deep. It's not very strong. It's not planted in a place where it can get the water that it needs to drive its roots down. But you go out to the Kern River and you go to one of those trees that are planted right by the Kern River. It might not be very big, and you go out there and you try to pull up that same tree, and you're going to have a hard time. You know why? Because it's by the rivers of water, and it has the water that it needs, and so therefore its roots have gone deep, and you can pull, and you can pull, and you can pull. And you know what it is? It's determined not to be moved, because it is like, it is a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And we need to be like that as Christians, determined not to move when the devil tries to move us. But how many know that when the Lord gets ready, you got to move? So we've got to stay submitted. And you say, well, I don't understand the difference. Well, let me just say that if you are determined Christian and you are determined to live for God, if you are truly determined in the way that God has instructed us to be determined, then you won't be stubborn in the ways that God tells you to submit. A lot of times we think, oh my, that person, look, they're a determined person, yeah? Well, if they're a stubborn person, then they're determined to be stubborn. But if you are seeking God with all your heart, somebody can come up to you and talk to you bad, and you just love them anyways. Instead of being stubborn and harsh, you just love people and you try to work with people. But when it comes to the devil, there's no working with the devil. He is a liar. He is a thief. He is a deceiver. He is a stealer of souls. And so we've got to make up in our mind that we are going to be determined about the devil. We are going to be determined not to give any space to the devil, but we're going to be surrendered to God. So in Luke chapter 21, this is the words in Luke 21 and 19, it says this. It says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now, we hear that a lot. We might hear that part of a message, or that might even be a theme of a message, but sometimes it's hard to understand that. And can I tell you why you have such a hard time relating to that? It's because you don't have a very easy time relating to patience, right? In your patience possess ye your soul. That right there turns us off, Lord. You know, that person said, boy, I made the mistake of asking God for patience, and I went through a bunch of trials to learn the patience, so I quit asking God for patience. How many know that God wants us to be patient, but it takes difficult trials for us to learn to be patient? Some people might be a little bit more patient based upon their personality, their upbringing, than other people might be. But can I tell you that there are going to be people that try your patience? There are going to be situations that try your patience. You know, I don't know how it is for you, but if I'm really, really hungry and I go in and I get something and I'm going to heat it up in the microwave, and the microwave says to heat it up for 3.5 minutes. I don't know how it is for you, but when I'm standing there and I'm watching that microwave, it feels like 10 minutes. Have you ever been there? You've set it for 3 minutes and it feels like 10. It takes forever. Why? Because our patience is being tested. Now, there are some people that have more patience than others at a particular place in their life, but can I say that there's a lot of people that started with very little patience, but God has helped them through problems and trials and enduring problems and trials to where someday they become very, very patient. So there's hope for some of you who aren't very patient. God can still help you to get patient. In your patience possess ye your souls. And we go, oh, I wrestle with that. I don't like patience. I don't like that. So what's this all about? Well, in the NIV, I like the correlation that it has here to this same verse translated in a different way. It says this, stand firm and you will win life. Okay, I can relate to that. Stand firm and you will win life. Now there's two different ways we could go with this, obviously, and I think that there are a lot of applications that we can look at the King James Version in this and extract more than we can the NIV. But can I say, in your patience possess ye your souls means stand firm and you will win life. Now, when I read that, Jesus is telling us this right after he talked about persecution that's going to come your way. He said, in your patience possess ye your souls. In other words, if you are patient, if you endure, if you make it through, then that's where your soul's hope is. Now you possess your soul. You are winning your soul. And the NIV is saying it this way in more common English, stand firm and you will win life. Jesus is saying there's going to be persecution coming. So he's saying stand firm and you will win life. What does that mean if we were to twist that around a little bit and say, Jesus, what if I don't stand firm? Well, if he told us to stand firm and if we do, then we'll win life, it would lead me to believe that if we don't stand firm, determination, if we don't have a made-up mind to live for God, if we're not determined that we're going to make it all the way, if we're not determined that we're going to sell out to God, if we're not determined that the devil's not going to steal our joy, if we're not determined that we are going to stay in the narrow way, we're not going to win life. It's pretty serious stuff when you look at it that way. 2 Corinthians 12:10. 2 Corinthians 12 and 10 says this, the NIV says this. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Paul, are you crazy? You must have been eating some cuckoo puffs. You have gone off the deep end, Paul. You're saying that you delight in weaknesses? You delight in insults? Oh, think about that one. Now, if I asked you to just quietly close your eyes, don't do this, but if I were to say, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to close our eyes and we're going to think of a time in our life that somebody has insulted us, and then raise your hand when you're done. Most of you would have your hands raised before I stop talking, because we do not like to be insulted. But Paul said, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions. I delight in difficulties. Why, Paul? How can you say that? For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am submitted, and I recognize my weakness, and I surrender my weakness to his strength, suddenly now his strength comes in and takes over for my weakness, and now I'm strong. I delight when I have to go through these things, because it means that I have no choice but to surrender to God, and he becomes the strength in that situation. What are we talking about? We're talking about determination here. We're talking about if you're going to be determined and a determined Christian, if you're going to have determination as a Christian, you're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to be willing to go through stuff. You're going to have to be willing to allow people to insult you without retaliating. Whew, boy, that gets hard. Woo, that's a hard one. But when they insult you, when they persecute you, when you encounter hardships, when you have difficulties, whenever you experience weaknesses. Oh, look at that guy. Look at that guy. Hey, you. How come you're not drinking a beer with us? Who, you think you're too good for us? No, guys, I just, I don't drink. Oh, you're one of those holy rollers, I bet. You're one of those goody two-shoes. I see how you are. Let me just tell you, if you swallow your pride and if you swallow your carnal nature in that moment and you let them do that to you and talk about you that way and you don't retaliate, there's only one way. There's only two. You're at the fork of the road. There's only two things you can do. You can either try to step in and defend yourself in a way that shows strength, like, hey, guys, nah, it takes a real man to be a Christian. Well, if you say that, then what you're doing is you're trying to present yourself as being strong and not weak. And they're going to say, huh, that's pretty funny. I thought Christians were humble, and look at him. He's rearing up. Hey, guys, let's see if we can poke him a little bit more and get him to rear up even more. No, but whenever you take the other fork in that road and you say, and you just smile and you walk away and you find a place to pray and you pray for them, God, would you help them? died for them. You love them. Would you help me to be a witness and example? Lord, give me the strength that I need. Can I tell you what you're doing? You are exhibiting a moment of weakness in yourself. You are going through weakness because you really want to be strong. You really want to test out those four knuckles there, maybe put the thumb in there somehow, but you want to test out those knuckles and see how strong you really are. But that's the carnality. The spiritual side says, carnal side, you're going to be weak. You're going to go through weakness. Spiritual side, you're going to win. You're going to go find a place to pray, and you're going to conquer this. Can I tell you that Paul understood that if he's living in his manhood, his manly state, if he is exhibiting his own strength, he's really weak with God. But he realized that whenever he is determined to be submitted to God, that's when he's really strong. A lot of people look at determination and say, you know what? I'm going to walk by the bar tonight. I haven't had a drink for 9 months. I've been sober. I stayed away from the bars because I was afraid I'd be weak and might be pulled in there. But tonight, I'm going to walk right by the bar. In fact, if I see my friends, I'll walk in there and sit down and talk with them and just have a glass of water. I'm going to be strong tonight. That's a fool talking. That is a fool talking. What are you doing? You're trying to bring some validity. You're trying to vindicate your own flesh by saying, I am bigger than this. But when we say, Lord, I can't do anything without you, even holding my hand. I need you. I can't even walk without you. I need you, God. So I'm going to stay away from things that might be a temptation. I'm not going to even entertain or give the devil an inch, but I'm going to walk over here in this state of humility and prayer. What are you doing? You are recognizing that you are weak in you, and you are determining and being determined to stay away from it. Determination is not always about flexing your visible muscles, so to speak, spiritually, and saying, I can handle anything. No. Being determined says, I'm going to be determined to be submitted. James 1:12. Blessed is the man, as I get ready to close, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Oh, I want to take it just like I've seen those big bull riders in the rodeo, and how they jump on that bull, and when that bull comes out, they take it and they rustle it, and they've got it under control, and they stay on it, and those what do they call it, the steer wrestling or whatever they call it, where they get, they wrestle them to the ground and they tie their ropes, calf pinning or whatever they call it. Some people say, when I'm tempted, I'm going to grab that thing and I'm going to wrestle it and tie it up and I'm going to hold it up as a trophy. No, you're a fool. Can I tell you that when you see temptation and when you run into temptation, can I tell you what you and I need to do? We need to immediately divert our thoughts and our focus on connecting with God's unchanging hand. Because if you're holding on to your daddy's hand, you're probably not going to be doing things that daddy doesn't like. Young people that slip out their windows at night and go do things that daddy is not approving of, it's because they're not very close to their daddy. They got to get away from out of sight of their daddy before they can do those things. And when you and I run into temptation, if we want to endure temptation, the best thing we can do is find a place of prayer. You say, well, I'm at work. Fine. Good time for a bathroom break. If they let you go to the restroom, go in there and take a moment and just begin to cry out to God, and even quietly, whatever it takes. And if you're working at a fast food restaurant, and you're flipping burgers and there's a temptation, can I tell you that you can even pray right there while you're flipping burgers. Quietly, you can say a prayer. Say, God, I need you. I'm submitting to you. This temptation can be bigger than I am, so I'm asking you for strength. Enduring temptation. Blessed is the man that is determined enough to endure the temptation. For when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul. That crazy Paul. Who said, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. I delight in those things. That same Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Hey, boys, I'm getting to the end of my life here. I know there's not much time left for me, but I just want you to know I have fought a good fight. Well, Paul, what do you mean you fought? Here you are telling everybody to submit and to treat other people right, and when people insult you, you delight in that because your weakness, you're glorifying your weakness. What's going on, Paul? Why in the world would you say you fought a good fight? You know why? Because Paul understood that it took determination to fight a good fight. I have finished my course or my race. I have kept the faith, as we all stand. I have not given in to the devil. Oh, now, if you go all around to my peers and you talk to them, some of them will say, I'm just a weakling. I'm a little timid, meek person that isn't very strong. I'm just scrawny. In fact, look at me. History tells us that Paul was, he looked like a wreck. He was so physically in bad shape. Anytime that you saw him, he went through so much. So when you talk to the people, they'll say, I'm a weakling. But I'm telling you, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my race. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh my. Can I remind us that when the devil comes a knocking, sometimes if you haven't made up your mind in determination ahead of time of what you're going to do when he comes knocking, you'll naively open the door. Oh, look. It's the candy man. Oh, it's the candy lady. Oh, she's so sweet. Oh, he's so sweet. No, can I tell you? It's the devil dressed up in a disguise trying to trip you up. And because you haven't made up and had determination in your mind what you're going to do when you face temptation, then you're going to fail. I wonder tonight as they begin to sing something, I wonder if tonight, if there's any weakness, lack of determination in us. If so, it'd be a good time for us to search our hearts as I sing this through. It'd be a good time for us to say, God, can you help me to be determined? I want to have a made up mind. I don't want the devil to win. I want to be determined to win against the devil.
I'm going to stay on the back.
Till the end. Jesus is with me. On him I can depend. For I know I have salvation. For I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Amen. And it's going to take a made up mind. Oh, can I say that it's easy for us if we're not studying the Bible, if we're not in prayer asking God to apply His word into our heart and to put our mind in the right structure. It's easy for us to get caught up in the current culture of wishy-washy, weak-kneed psychology. I don't know how else to say it. Well, I think there's a lot of good ideas and a lot of good programs, a lot of good things for us, but today's culture is not about saying, stand up like a man and live for God. No. You don't tell people that. You'll hurt their feelings or you'll make them feel bad. No. Paul and the rest of the apostles and the prophets in the Bible and Jesus himself was pretty straight. You say, oh, was Jesus mean? No. He loved people. He showed compassion and kindness on them. But he also realized that some people just needed to be talked to straight. Talked to very straight. So he would say things like this to the Pharisaical minds, those who were, you know, thought they were all that as Christians, thought they had it together. He said, ye generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes. Now that sounds pretty straight talk to me. Oh, in today's culture, be like, oh, Jesus, you can't do that. They're church people. You'll hurt their feelings and they might want to go to another church. Well, I do believe that that Jesus many times was kind. People came to him with a repentant heart and feeling very humble. And what did he do? He loved them. And he said, I'm not going to condemn you either, even though you are an adulteress. I'm not going to condemn you either. They caught you in the act of adultery. But you know what? I'm not going to condemn you either. You go on and don't sin anymore. Wow, Jesus, I thought you were a straight talker. Yeah, he is. He told her, don't sin anymore. That's pretty straight. But to the Pharisees, the ones who thought they had no sin, he had to talk to them so straight. He told them, you're a bunch of snakes and you need to repent. Oh, my. I think in today's culture, you know what I just think that we need? We need a good old dose for our young men growing up and our young ladies growing up. We need to have a good old dose of old-fashioned challenging. Challenge them to live right and do right and say no to the devil. Not this wishy-washy, well, you can be what you want to be and whatever you are. God loves you and he'll accept you however you are. It's not the way my Bible reads. Oh, my. Oh, my. How many want to be a determined Christian? I want to be a determined Christian. I want to be a strong Christian, weak in myself, strong in Him. Oh, it's so good to have His word.